Ce soir, c'est une grande première. En cherchant, on a découvert une touche à portée de tous. Quand on la pousse, ça fait la mousse. J'ai éclaboussé la première et tout le monde a suivi derrière. Sous la douche, ce soir, y'a de la mousse.
McSherry holding on, still in the lead. Booker in 3, Reba Gaddison in 4. McSherry moving up, having won the 50, having won the 100, is a hat-trick. European gold medalist. Marna McSherry does it again.
Avicii knuckles right now, and look forward to getting in the ring and do the business and take one fight at a time. I'm enjoying the journey at the same time, you know. I'm soaking it all up at the moment. The support at home has been phenomenal. The support out here in Mount Hamilton and Sligo has been crazy, and I'm looking forward to staying focused now and done, just getting into the zone now.
The 400 is so competitive at the minute. Like, anyone can come out of anywhere and run a fast time, and that's all it kind of takes. Like, no one's spot is essentially safe.
Yeah, stuff of dreams. I mean, we've all had our own individual journeys. We were all running since we were a kid. Just absolutely incredible.
My aunt, Chloe McGee, has been to 3 Olympics already, so to have her as a role model and to have been there before and helped me with all those things is amazing, and it's actually completely invaluable.
Loin derrière, si loin derrière, la terre entière.
This is the Olympic whistle on Ocean FM on the eve of the Paris Olympic Games. Ireland has 133 athletes in France over the next fortnight. It's the biggest ever Irish Olympic team. And you could argue 8 of them are local, 4 from Sligo and 4 from Donegal. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. And coming up, we'll give you the lowdown on the local hopes in athletics, in badminton, in boxing and, of course, in swimming. We're on 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and by text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. And you'll find us on X as well, at Ocean FM Sport. 30 of the 32 counties of Ireland represented on this Irish Olympic team. The exceptions to that are Leitrim and Westmeath, but we do have in studio tonight the last Leitrim sports person to don the Ireland singlet at an Olympic Games. It was 8 years ago. She's from Kinlaw. Breach Connolly, does it still feel like yesterday?
Somewhat, and then also a while ago when I look at all of the footage in the last 2 days.
What were you doing this night 8 years ago? Can you remember? Were you in Brazil already for Rio? Were you at a holding camp? What was your situation?
Yeah, we were exactly the same as the team. We had flown out 2 weeks before and we were in a holding camp in Uberlandia. So the night before, we watched the opening ceremony. Actually, we weren't flown in for it. We flew a couple of days after. I think it was just to do with logistics and cost as well at that time. So,
yeah, I mean, I was living up north at the time, but I remember watching online all the send-offs locally for you. There was great excitement in Leitrim and in this part of the world in general. Were you a bag of nerves out in Brazil on the eve of the Games?
On the eve of the Games, not so much. The eve of my own race, 100%, yeah. And I think that was part of it. I was so well looked after. And I can never thank the people from the whole county, but especially Kinloch. Like, they were just so kind. They give up their time, give up so much to me. So I just felt I really owed. They were the ones I felt the most, them, my family, my friends. You know, it wasn't, I'm Irish, you know. It's not, you know, I don't need to wear a singlet to feel more Irish, but I think they were the people I was the most, like, most conscious of doing well for. And yes, the night before I was an absolute bag of nerves because the weather, we had rain the day before and then the weather was set.
And you went, yippee, this is
like home. Yeah, we probably run the pigs back. But also, the crazy thing about Rio, they held off the marathon until 11 a.m. and that was crap, because, you know, even in Paris they're getting to run, because I've been listening to a few podcasts of the Australian girls and they feel like they're on the pig's back now because it's starting at 8 a.m. so you'll be an hour and a half in before, you know, it gets really kind of testing. Whereas I remember standing beside Fionnuala Britton on the start line feeling I was burning, you know, and we had like the ice jackets and all on, you know, leading right in. So and then I could see my sisters as I was running around, they were getting more burned, you know, so it was like each time I'd see them, they were, you know, getting redder and redder.
Did you get a chance, or do you remember at any stage enjoying the experience, or was it just an absolute battle?
Yeah, because I think that's one thing I think about the marathon, because I have said it to Dermot, you know, who I'm great friends with, and Lauren. I sometimes think with the shorter distances, can they enjoy it a little bit more? Because it's going to be over quick. Now, I know, sudden death. There's a lot of eventualities to a marathon, you know, and I guess the weather was, it was a real... it was a real preoccupation for all of us, you know, about how would we handle it. And there's that whole, the cumulative effect of, we had heat and humidity. So starting at 11, it was already 25 degrees. It was getting hotter and hotter. And then I guess it was people dropping out like flies. So, you know, the little bits that I did know, like, why are Spanish and Portuguese girls dropping out, and they're, you know, they should be used to this weather. So the only part I did enjoy, I remember seeing Patsy McGonigal and one of the physios, and they were probably 5 mile out, and I remember thinking, I'm fine, you know, even if, you know, I knew I was going to get there at that point in time. Yeah, but yeah,
let's mention the lady you mentioned a moment ago, your former Ireland marathon teammate at the Rio Olympics, because a couple of Olympic Games on, she's still in the Ireland singlet this summer, and that's Fionnuala McCormack, Nee Britton, who you ran alongside in Rio 8 years ago, and she's about to contest her fifth Olympics.
Yeah, phenomenal. Like, it is the record, I think. There's so few, actually, five-time Olympics. Even worldwide, it's huge. Her third time, I even thought of her. I was in the sun last week, and each day I ran, I was thinking, wow, you know, the heat, it doesn't get any easier. She now has three children, you know, so she's got all of the weight of that responsibility. She has a very small baby. I think the baby mightn't even be one. So the fact that she's doing it again, she's just a testament to, you know, she's actually everything about the Olympic values and the Olympic creed, Fionnuala Britton. I think she epitomises what it is to be an Olympian, yeah.
And from having, you know, being in close quarters to her when you were running for Ireland, what is the character, what is it about her?
She's a very kind girl. I don't know. That was the only thing I could say. She really settled me on that morning. She's genuinely a decent and lovely person, like, and I don't mean to overuse, you know, I'm not placating her. She just, yeah, she's ordinary, you know, she just is so ordinary, you know. She enjoyed some stories I was telling her about my family, you know, so she's just, yeah, she's country to the core, yeah, and I think she's just a simple liver. I think she just loves running. She actually just loves it. I know a lot of people would have said that of Fionnuala, but yeah, she thrives on it.
Well, look, we're going to talk in a short while about the local hopes on the track and field for Ireland in the Paris Games, because there's lots to look forward to and to talk about, but plenty of local interest in Paris over the next fortnight. There are four Sligo athletes on the Ireland team in Paris. Mona McSherry, of course, in swimming. She's going to contest the 100 metres breaststroke. That was her Olympic final event in Tokyo 3 seasons ago. She'll also be in the 200 metres breaststroke, an event she's come on leaps and bounds with in the last 12 months in particular. And she'll also be part of the Ireland women's 4x100 metres medley team, which will be towards the end of the swimming programme next weekend. Chris O'Donnell and Lauren Cadden are the two Sligo athletes in athletics. Chris O'Donnell, part of the mixed relay 4x400 metres squad. He was hoping to qualify for the individual 400, but it is the mixed relay for Chris. Won a European gold in the event along with Tom Barr and Charlie Maudsley and Sophie Becker earlier this year. And also part of that squad is Sligo AC's Lauren Cadden, who will also be part of the women's 4x400 metres relay squad as well. Add to that Sligo boxer Dean Clancy, who was at the draw this evening earlier in Paris to see who he'll be boxing in the prelim round of the light welterweight division on Saturday. That draw was made a couple of hours ago, and Dean Clancy from Sean McDermott Boxing Club in Manor Hamilton, Sligo native, will be taking on a Jordanian fighter. Obida Al-Kaspa is his name. He contested in the same Olympic Games as Breach Conley, Rio, 8 years ago, and he's back again for a second bite at the cherry in the light welterweight division, and that will be on the opening day of competition, that bout for Dean this coming Saturday. If he wins that, he's into the last 16, and he will potentially be up against one of the strong contenders for a medal in the light welterweight division. That is a French boxer we'll tell you more about in just a moment. But here is Dean and his dad and coach Jason just before they flew out to Paris.
I'm soaking it all up at the moment. The sport at home has been phenomenal. The sport out here in Manahamilton and Sligo has been crazy, and I'm looking forward to be staying focused now and zoning, just getting into the zone now. And
have you allowed yourself to think about the opening ceremony along the Seine in Paris, or stepping into the ring for that first round bout?
It looks special now, especially being the centenary year for Ireland. But I wouldn't be too focused. And if I'm boxing the 27th, I definitely won't be going. But if I'm on the 29th or maybe a few days after, I'd be going. It'll be a magical moment, I'd say.
Yeah, but to be part of one of the biggest Irish boxing teams ever at an Olympic Games, that's important too.
Yeah, it's I said it last year. I said this team's going to be massive, and we're going to make history. And look at it now. What, there's 10 of us in the full Irish women's team, which is fantastic. You know, it's great.
You've had your dad, Jason, in the corner with you every step of the way through your boxing career. He may not be in the Olympic corner in the middle of the bout, but he'll be there with you in every other sense of the word.
Yeah, he'll be texting me and ringing me, and I'll definitely hear him from the sideline anyways. Don't worry about that.
Is he a shouter?
Oh, he is.
Right. Yeah, is he? Yeah.
I mean, you know, we all know it is a bit of a lottery, the boxing, the draw. Lots of stars have to align, but you go there believing in yourself, as you've always done, don't you?
Yeah, leaving no stone left unturned in training. I think all of us in up and high performance have the same attitude towards the Olympics. You know, we're training hard, we're working hard, we're all giving each other more support. And we're all just knuckling down now and really looking forward to it, and wait for the draw, and whoever we're fighting, but we'll get a good game plan from the coaches and approach each fight one by one.
And wearing that Ireland logo on your singlet, does that add a little 5% extra?
Ah, it does. It's at 10%, 15%. I just can't wait to just go out there and have the Olympic rings on my glove and just go out there and do the business, take one fight one round at a time.
Let me bring in your coach and father, Jason Clancy Sr. Jason, all the miles of taxiing, all the hours, the blood, sweat and tears, repairing, putting on gloves, taking them off, the bandages, the tears, the joy, the wins, the losses. It's all gone into the pot, and this is what has come out at the end.
Yeah, 100%. This is the pinnacle of any athlete's career, you know. And it's finally around the corner. I've done my last bit of training now with Dean last week on the pads. He's in super shape, very sharp, very focused. Never seen him that focused before. Under 22s, he's very focused that time, but this time is just something different, you know.
What is the difference, would you say?
I think he realises the magnitude of this tournament. It's so, so big. It's what we've trained for 10 years, you know. A fella was asking me there, you know, did you train long for this training camp? And she goes, Dean goes, about eight, 9 weeks. I go, no, 8, 9 years, you know. So that's really the truth, Austin, you know.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind, as his coach, as his dad, that Dean would make it to the Olympics?
I always believed he'd make it to the Olympics. More so than Dean. It was a goal between the two of us, a stepping stone, you know, from, like we said before, the Connacht. That was the main thing first, then the All-Irelands, that was the main thing. After that, then it was international levels, we can pick, fight for country. Along that, we were looking at Tokyo first in 2020. But obviously, we had, you know, Kurt Walker and different boxers in that weight. We were a bit naive to think that we would be picked for that because we won the elites. But looking back now and seeing the selection team, you know, I can understand now why we weren't picked for 20. And but
would that have been too soon for him, do you think?
Not too soon, yeah, crazy. He's only gone 18 years of age, you know, he's only a child. He's still a little child, he's only 22, you know. You know, people, I forget myself, and people forget, because he's won so much at such a young age. You know, especially your elites, like usually when you're elites, you know, when you're hitting 20,
well,
21.
I remember real disappointment here locally that he wasn't selected at the time. There was a lot of annoyance is the word I'm tempted to use. But I suppose when you consider the bigger picture now, he's a different fighter now than he was four years ago.
Yeah, he would have been no way prepared to go over to the Olympics in 2020. More so because he was only coming out of youth and it was his first time boxing as a elite at people older than his own age. So now he has 4 years behind him fighting elites all over the world, so he's well prepared for these competitions.
Without going into detail, the light welterweight division at the Olympics looks a fairly hot category.
It is, it's very hot. They're all up there for one prize, and that's a Olympic gold, Olympic medal at least, you know. But Dean's well capable for any of them, especially over here. Obviously, like I was saying there, it's the pinnacle of a sport. Dean excels the crowds, and you know, he's a showman at the end of the day, and he excels more to a packed arena, so I'm looking forward to it. And it's all down to the draw. People say it's down to the draw, but that can be true as well. But I think Dean is well fit to take any boxer all over the world. He wouldn't be in this position if he wasn't, you know.
And there will be fighters hoping they avoid him in round
100%, yeah. Listen, they're all praying for the same goal, so it's going to be interesting. I can't wait.
Will you have to separate being dad from being the coach, or will it be a mixture of the two?
It'll definitely be a mixture of the two, but I'm going to have to keep my professional head on, you know, because this isn't no walk in the park. It's no like Connacht Champions or a club show. This is the cream of the cream. You know, this you can't get any higher than this for Dean. There's nothing else for him after this, only go pro, you know, so he'll be giving everything to this, and I'll study every boxer for him, and I'll try my best to give any bit of info into him, you know, which his own coaches up there in Dublin do as well. So I'm really looking forward to it, you know. So nervous, and I'm excited at the same time. So.
And the Clancy clan will be on tour in Paris. Is France ready for the Clancys?
Yeah, all of us have the SUV booked, so I'm going collecting it now in Charles de Gaulle Airport. So I had to get a 7-seater because there's a good few of us going.
That'll be some sight, the Clancy 7-seater going down the Champs-Élysées, if they get through the security cordon, that is, over the next fortnight. Jason Clancy, father and coach of Dean Clancy, just before they flew out to Paris. They're all in situ and they were at the draw this evening. Dean Clancy will take on the Jordanian fighter Obadah Al-Kasba in the prelim round of the 63.5 kilogram division. That is light welterweight to me and you. I still go by the old fashioned heavyweight, middleweight, featherweight. It's easy for me to get my head around rather than the metric kilograms, but that's just me. Saturday in the first session, Dean will be in action. If he gets through that, he'll be into the last 16 and he will take on one of the talented fighters to beat in the light welterweight, a French boxer. We'll tell you more about that. Let's see how he gets on in the prelim round first. Dean Clancy needs to win 3 fights now to win a medal for Ireland in the light welterweight division. That's what's in front of him in Paris, in Saint-Denis, near the Stade de France, in the same suburb of the northwest of France. That's where the boxing arena is in Paris, and we wish Dean well. He'll be in action this Saturday for Team Ireland. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. And just listening to that interview, Breach Conley, you reminded me of something that wasn't available to the athletes at the last Olympic Games because of COVID and all the travel restrictions in 2021, but is now available. Families, the Clancys, wouldn't have been able to go to Tokyo 3 years ago, but they can all go lock, stock and barrel to Paris this weekend.
Yeah, it is great, I think. Like for the likes, I'm not saying Dean is like me, but I'm not sure if he's gone pro or anything. But I think for it's one of the most special things about the Olympic Games, for sure. Like, of course, the professional athletes are well used to this. You know, they might not need their families around them. I think for the ordinary athletes among us, it's one of the best things. I know for me, crossing the finish line, I knew they were to the right. That was just, yeah, one of the moments that you're going to always remember. So yeah, it is brilliant. And friends as well. It's great, like all of, you know, having friends in the stadium and seeing all those flags. Like the Europeans looked immense altogether.
Yeah,
very surely. Surely. Right, let's talk about your domain, athletics, for the next while, Breach. On our way to doing that, let me remind you of the 4 Donegal athletes on the Ireland team, or at least the 4 with Donegal connections. Mark English, you'll know all about his 3rd Olympic Games. He's going again in the men's 800 metres. Cheer Con Athletic Club's Kelly McGrory from Lahey. She is part of the 4x400 metres relay squad. She'll probably be vying with Lauren Cadden for a starting place, possibly on that 4x400 team. We'll talk about that in a short while. Also, the other Donegal connections, badminton player Rachel Dara from Raphoe. She's a niece of the 3-time Olympian Chloe McGee, and she is in Paris for the badminton. Big week ahead for her as well. And also back in the pool, the diver Kira McGean, who is London born, but her grandparents hail from Rathmullen in Donegal, and her other grandparents are from Turmachidi in Mayo, if I'm not mistaken. But Donegal claiming allegiance to Kira McGean in the diving pool as well over the coming days. There's been lots of chat, and I have the supplements here, the Irish Examiner supplement, and they're great to read about the strength and breadth and width of this Ireland Olympic team, Breach, across so many sports. But
Is it accurate to say, I mean, you've had a good while to digest the makeup of the athletics, the track and field team. Is this the strongest Ireland team, bar none, would you say, for an Olympic Games?
Yes, I think it is. I guess we've got strength in the... Well, you have to consider we've got Ciara McGeehan going in with the European gold. Who Ciara's up against now? Faith, you know, that was Europe, so now it's the rest of the world. And the A game, even in the last 2-3 weeks, the Diamond Leagues, the times that athletes have been running, you know, Ciara making the final. I think if I could get one message across, it would be to help the general public understand that making an Olympic final is absolutely massive. Rashid Adeleke, yeah, we're... Go on.
Yes, well, on that, I mean, there is an air of expectation for medals, certainly in rowing, certainly in boxing, maybe in show jumping, quite possibly in the pool with the likes of Daniel Whiffen, etc. And there will be people adding two and two together from what we've celebrated already this year and getting five when it comes to track and field, that there's going to be medals on the track. But actually, if you drill down and analyse who our best runners, whether they're sprinters or distance runners, are up against, the standard goes up a notch, number one. There is no guarantee of a medal on the track for Ireland over the next fortnight.
No, definitely not.
So we need to sober up a little bit when it comes to athletics.
Yeah, and I think we're so excited for Rashida. And like, I don't know, did you watch the Road to Paris programme? And I thought, you know, her coach was brilliant. She is a baby, you know, she's still so young. Now, while she has matured immensely from her time in Texas, this might not be her time, and she's up against phenomenal women. Like last, you know, even on Saturday in the London Diamond League, it was won. I think an NCAA girl won that race. So yeah, Rashida, like, I would say a final without a doubt. Yes, we'll be expecting to see her there. But then it just all depends, really and truly.
Okay, so before we talk specifically about the local events concerning local athletes, who else might reasonably expect to make a final? Ciara McGeehan will be hoping to, but she could end up in a loaded semi-final where the first five get through and it could be a very difficult heat. It can happen that some of the very best don't necessarily make the final through circumstance, etc.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I think Ciara, like, I suppose in recent weeks is, again, her competitors have just upped the ante, particularly an Australian girl. You know, she just kept on top of Faith Kipyegon. So Faith, I think, is nearly the certified gold. We've that one sold off. I think this Australian girl, if, you know, she looked unbeatable. And then you've got the Americans coming in. So, and yeah, it is. But Ciara is so good tactically. I think that was the thing. You know, she created a space where no one would have created a space at the Europeans, so she's got that. I also think if her and Sarah ended up, you know, well, I know generally they don't get, but if they ended up in the same race, like Sarah, you know, she has, I guess Ciara's had a few kind of tired looking weeks since the Europeans, but Sarah has excelled. So they could kind of bounce off each other's strength. I really hope to see Ciara in a final. I think it will also be huge if we do. And then if you see Ciara McGeehan in a final, you know she'll be fighting. So That would be it.
Okay. Now, having sobered everybody up by not expecting too much medal-wise on the track in Paris, we can get cautiously optimistic about the relay squads in terms of making finals, if all goes to plan. And lots has to go right. But let's talk about the mixed relay, first of all, which is the new event and certainly has been, as Roddy Gaynor would describe it, a game changer for Irish 400 metres runners in terms of what the table they can get to now. And we saw that in the European Championship with that gold medal for Tom Barr, Chris O'Donnell, Charlie Maudsley and Sophie Becker. And I think going into these games, that quartet is ranked 2/3 in the discipline.
Yeah.
So on paper, they are a prospect, aren't they?
100%, yeah, 100% they are. And I guess there's a lot of strengths on paper. Tom Barr is no longer doing an individual, so he's fully focused. And he, you know, I've seen some interviews, he seems happy with that, you know, that he's given this his pure focus. they did set a world-beating time at the Europeans. You know, they're not to be... Like, I would have been one of the people back in Tokyo that would have been like, ah, they'll do... You know, I probably didn't consider them. And they've only kind of gone from strength to strength. They have great self-belief. We 100% need Rashida. You know, we need her somewhere in there. I think, can they qualify the team? Because I, like, you're going to have the likes of, you know, the Dutch... They're going to keep Femke Bol, you know, like the Dominican Republic, like all of the big hitters are coming in. And it's a more serious event. Like, I think people like Femke have added weight to the mixed relay.
I think in Tokyo, it was kind of a novelty, the mixed relay. It was new. Oh, right, the boys and the girls running together was kind of a novelty at Olympic level. But it's become a pretty serious, hot event now.
Yeah, and I think for... Like, it's a medal, you know, these are Olympic medals. Everybody wants one. So they are, everyone is taking it seriously. Like, you've seen Charlene Maudsley. She has turned into one of the best relay runners you could ever hope to see. She's risen to the challenge. As she said herself, she will run as many times as she needs to, you know, to do what needs to be done to kind of progress the team.
Chris O'Donnell was hoping to qualify for the individual men's 400 metres. We'll hear from his home coach, Roddy Gaynor, a little bit later in the programme. So I'm sure there's obvious disappointment there. He's a guy who has big, big ambitions and he's still a young athlete. But to go back to your original point, in a sense, does that help him for the mixed relay? It leaves him freer of distractions, as he did in the Europeans. He doesn't have to balance his individual commitments with his team commitments. And is that a lighter load on your shoulders that you can concentrate on this one single event now?
So I'm not privy to 400 metre running. I would like to think it would, you know, that you've saved all of your strength. But then the other thing is, are you sharper? If you've already got, you know, if he had a heat of an individual 400 metres in his body, you know, he's really opened up. Does that get you firing on all cylinders? But I think having a not tired athlete is probably better. You know, they can do all the training sessions that they need to do to fire themselves up. So hopefully, yeah.
And there is a big call to be made for Rashida Adeleke in terms of how much running she does in the early stages of the 400 metres relay, whether that's with the women's quartet or the mixed relay quartet. And given that it's an Olympic Games, the margin for error in a heat is presumably going to be a lot smaller. Will there be an incentive? Like, will Chris and Tom Barr and Charlene be saying to Rashida, we need you for the heat, girl?
I don't know. Well, I'd imagine that internally they'll all be hoping. But no, I did. I read Tom Barr was like, absolutely not. They would never put any pressure because, you know, her individual endeavours matter much more. But Tom seems to, I think Rashida appears to be a great team player. Like, that's a really cool thing to have, you know, someone who's, you know, a brilliant runner, the best on the team, and also really good at gelling, you know. So it sounds like Rashida's
got... Is that a rarity in modern athletics, would you say, for, you know, elite sprinters who are very much singular in terms of how they approach major competition?
Yeah, I don't know. Sprinters seem to be... They seem to have a lot more fun than distance runners. Well, from looking at mixed zones and interviews, they seem to... and I guess, too, in terms of, like, they can probably put out more races. You know, you make a mistake and then I guess the next championships is always a little bit closer as well. But yeah, I don't know. Rashida just seems to be the package from everything I hear, see and read.
Related to the mixed relay 4x400 metres is the women's 4x400 metres. Sligo SC's Lauren Cadden is part of both squads. She is named on the mixed relay squad and the women's. So she is an option for either quartet, it would seem.
Yes.
That's a change from the Europeans, is it?
That is a change, yeah. But and I would imagine that it would still be the 4x4, you know, the ladies 4x4, because I think in the mixed, like, well, depending on Rashida, but you've got Charlene, Sophie, and Phil Healy, and they would have more experience than Lauren, even though Lauren really rose to the challenge at both, you know, in the Bahamas qualifying event and at Europeans, because I think she stepped in for. Kelly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, yes, we have double interest in this 4x400 metres women's relay squad, because up the N15 in Lahey, Kelly McGrory is part of this squad as well. So she could effectively be vying for a place on the starting team in a heat, maybe, with Lauren Cavan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's phenomenal to think that within a, 30-mile radius, you've got 50% of an Olympic team coming from two tiny counties, you know, in terms of our athletic prowess. So, yeah, it's remarkable. And I think it's just brilliant for young female athletes, this whole 400 metre running, like there's, as Roddy Ginner is probably going to say later on, you know, it's just open doors and it's much more exciting. There's more, I think, camaraderie.
And these are probably local athletes who probably ran against each other in schools, cross country or sprinting or community games, who knows, at different age grades. And now they're part of an Irish Olympic team.
Yeah. I think the ones, it's like if you stick around for long enough, you will get there. And that's part of it. People drop off. I think, you know, I always think you just never have to go after true athletes because they stick around, you know, through the thick and thin and the hardships of it all.
Yeah. I'm just looking, yeah, Kelly McGorry is 27, Lauren Cadden is 23. So there is a slight age gap there in terms of they might not have been competing against each other underage at every national or regional event, but there may have been occasions when that did happen. So what would your, if you were the selector for the relay squad, would you be hoping to use Rashida Adeleke all the way through? Or I suppose you do that when the stakes are so high, you want to you will try and pick your strongest team, even if it is a first round heat,
and it's the Olympic Games as well. And countries are, like, as well as winning a medal, there's funding. You know, this is, like, every country's the same. There comes funding from, you know, the medals that are won. And I think you can't take anything for chance. You know, getting through each round, each round has to be treated like a final, as they say. So I do think, you know, we would be stronger with Rashida. Might not be an option, but, like, look how well Charlene, you know, Charlene and Phil are so seasoned. Sophie Becker as well, and she even qualified for her individual 400. So you've got three really strong girls there with Lauren and Kelly then to make up the numbers. So, yeah.
Let's have a word about the doctor getting ready for his third Olympic Games. Letterkenny born, Finn Valley AC is his club these days. Mark English. There was a stage earlier this year we weren't sure if he would make the Olympic Games, but boy, did he time his form. He knocked hundreds of a second after hundreds of a second off his PB every race he ran in recent weeks, and he has sailed into another Olympic Games.
Yeah, and he really sailed this time because I think the concern, you know, with the whole new qualification, and I guess the times are so, they're so quick now. The concern would have been that athletes would be right up to the window, like Cathal Doyle, for example, in the 1500, himself and Luke McCann. You know, they had to wait until nationals. They had to run really well at nationals, get their bonus points there. So for Mark, he really secured it. He just, I don't know, he seems to have this ability to turn it on when he needs to turn it on. But he just looked really, like, I saw an interview after the first national record and he seemed really satisfied with himself. Now I do think it'll take another national record to kind of start making moves at the Olympics, because it's just, like, 2 weeks ago, was it in the Monaco Diamond League, I think a guy ran 1:41. That's, you know, that's like London 2012 times, you know. That's so, that's a huge run. So
you reminded me just before we came on air that there is a slight change to the middle distance events in terms of how you progress through the heats in Paris for the first time. The 800 metres, the 1500 are going to be a bit like rowing. If you don't qualify from your round one heat this time, all is not lost. Can you explain what's happening?
Yeah, so the introduction of, I know there's a bit of nose turning about it, a repêchage
round. Repêchage.
So it's definitely for the 8 and 15. I'm not sure. I think it might be for another distance, but you don't die on the first. So if you don't, if I think it's like whatever, it'll be the top four, maybe top three, and then fast qualifiers might be gone, but you get a second chance anyway to run.
So you get a second race.
Yeah, a second race, which is great. Like, I think that's going to be really, because, like, even Mark, he didn't get through in the Europeans. And, like, he's better than that. We all knew he was better than that. It was just circumstance. So it's just a great, hopefully nobody will need it, but it isn't a great option to have if they do. I think for the likes of Cathal and Luke, their first Olympics, do you know what? There's a lot of nerves, you just don't know. And Andrew, it'll be brilliant for them as well, yeah.
If you had finally to put your head on the block now and plump for an Irish medal on the track, what would you go for? And maybe pick me out one athlete who might surprise us all by reaching a final or just going a bit further than we might have expected.
So the medal, Rashida, an athlete who could go further. I think Cathal Doyle could go further. You know, he's
really? Okay.
A brilliant racer. Yeah,
this is the 1500.
He's 1500, yeah, and he ran in Morton Games there a few weeks ago. And yeah, he didn't have the race won at all. And he just grinds. And I really admire what he had done all summer long to get to the Olympics, the way he went around Europe, totally unsponsored. Like a lot of athletes are, you know, it's definitely not a money game. Who else? Well, I hope Ciara. I definitely hope we see Ciara. I think Sarah Healy, actually. I think something special might happen for Sarah. She seems to be in a really good training group and she has found confidence. And all of her peers are running really well. So hopefully she might be another person, yeah.
Okay.
But
great.
Don't want to add pressure.
Not at all. No pressure. We're not going to hold you to that or play that tip back to you. Yeah. Don't worry. You answered that very well. Breach Connolly, for now, thank you. We're going to continue talking athletics, but in a slightly wider context right now, because the village of Grange in North Sligo, as you know, for the second Olympic Games in a row, has nurtured two Olympic athletes, Chris O'Donnell on the track, Mona McSharry in the swimming pool. And our colleague Donal Ryan has been chatting to the home coaches of both North Sligo athletes, Grace Meath, home swimming coach to Mona McSharry, and Roddy Gaynor, home athletics coach to Chris O'Donnell for many years in this neck of the woods. And they've been talking about how it all started for the two athletes on their road to realising their Olympic dream. And first to Grace, who has some memorable early memories of a young Mona McSharry and what she had in her mind down the track.
In her training sessions, everything was done meticulously well. You know, she wouldn't have been one of the swimmers that would miss anything. She'd never be late. She was always on time. She turned up even when she was ill to sessions, you know. So she had it like from the start, more than Chris, and she knew what she wanted. You know, I remember being at a meet with her, and I'd only really kind of got really involved in her program, and it was for the 2016 Olympics, and she missed that qualification by 0.9 of a second, not even a second, and she was gutted. And that, to be honest, that was the first time I'd really seen, wow, this kid really wants to go to the Olympics. And she was only 15 then, you know, so that was a big eye-opener for me personally too, to see how she reacted to that. It was a fabulous swim that she swam. I was really pleased with the way she swam that race, but she was so upset that she didn't make the Olympic team. You have to live it, and you have to experience it, and the only way, you know, you learn or you gain that experience is by doing it, you know. So the junior ranks really helped her to show her what these big meets were all about and what's required, you know. So like in 17, she was European and World Junior Champion. So she had got a taste for what it is to be up at the top level, at junior level, and then she wanted definitely a senior level.
Well, she's certainly near the top at senior level now anyway. And we're just talking about the mentality and how difficult it can be to, when you're on that big stage at such a young age. And something Mona's been quite open about is how difficult the last couple of years, maybe 18 months or so, has been for her. And the fact that she has been so open about that as well is another really admirable trait, really, to first go through it and then overcome it and then talk about it.
Yeah, it is. And she has struggled, had struggles in the last couple of years. She had the courage to speak about it, which I think is the first step for every athlete. You'll see it in other athletes, like Danielle Hill speaks very openly about it too. She was for quitting last September, and she got the courage to speak to somebody about it, and now she's going to her second Olympics as well. But Mona was the same. She spoke to somebody. She rang home. She spoke to us. We spoke to her, and you know, over the time, we guided her through it, and she got in touch with the right people, got the right support team around her. And she's in a really good place now, again.
Thankfully she is. And Roddy, I suppose, just touching on Chris there as well, the mixed relay was a new event at the last Olympics, and it seems that event just across Ireland really has exploded.
Yeah, it's Ireland is in an increasingly good space when it comes to the sport of athletics, and you know, back in the day, we would have always had athletes going to the Olympics, but it was always middle distance or distance runners, and we seemed to produce, you know, lots of great athletes at that level. So this is new that we're now starting to produce sprinters, and of course, sprinters come from good coaching, and that's been increasing very well in Ireland. And this mixed relay has just been something that has really appealed to the athletes and the coaches that are within the base in Ireland. Of course, we will talk specifically about the team that will be in Paris and recently won the European gold medal, you know, competed at the Tokyo. Very fortunate to have standout world-class stars on the team like Rashida Adeleke and Charlene Maudsley, and, you know, people who are in their own right going for top medals at the highest level. So it's really something. And Ireland, of course, is very good at being better than some of the parts. And the guys have all bought into this. And so there's a great mentality there. And it's just been a joy to watch what's actually been happening with it. And you see, You're essentially talking about full-time athletes here now, no more than Mona. And I think sometimes people don't really understand what these guys put in from a training perspective.
Can you just give us a little bit of insight as to what it is exactly that they put in? When you say people may not be fully aware or understand, like, what exactly it takes to get to that level?
Well, there is a concept in terms of training called the long-term athlete development program, and it's now kind of accepted kind of wisdom that that approach is what's required for people to reach the top. So what the long-term athlete development program says is it takes 3 hours of training per day for 10 years, so 10,000 hours, right? And so there's no quick route to this stuff. This is long-term investment in terms of training. And so to get to that level, whether it's Mona McSharry or whether it's Chris O'Donnell, the first part is the mentality and the commitment to do this, because it's not for everybody. And most people would not be able to follow that type of program and commit that way. And you know, Chris is one of those persons. He's ruthless. You know, he will, what works needed, I'll do it. So on a day-to-day basis, he can go to the track and be there for an hour and a half. And following that, he can go straight to the gym and do another hour, an hour and a half. And it's every day. And the major thing you have to plan for when you're dealing with elite athletes at that level is how can you get them to recover? Because they'll only, you know, they'll train so hard, but if they're not getting recovery, well, then that's a problem. So it is back to mentality again. It's back to the work and the belief in terms of day in, day out doing it, you know. And stepping up levels is also something that the listeners may not understand. But when you start stepping out of Ireland and you're competing at either the European or world level, the depth is incredible. So Chris's first big experience of that, when I was directly involved with him on the coaching side of things, was the European Juniors as well. And he finished fifth, but you could throw a blanket over the five guys across the line that day. And a bit like what Grace was saying, he was absolutely gutted, you know, not to have come away with the gold medal that day. But you know, these, as I say, it's the investment is massive, and the commitment is massive, and it's you know, there's no stone can be left unturned, really.
Yeah, and just on those near misses, Grace, as well. There's a phrase that's kind of thrown around in team sports, really, when it comes to finals and stuff. Like, you kind of have to lose one to win one. Does it kind of cut the, like, does that kind of, those experiences, they'll really kind of stand to an elite athlete and maybe drive them on that little bit further the next time?
They do, yeah. You do, yeah. They say you got to lose to win, because it makes you work harder, motivates you more, you know. And you will lose a lot more than you'll win, you know. But you got to use your losses to your advantage and build on them, you know, and learn from them. But don't dwell on them. You know, it is important that you move on and use them as a motivation and a learning curve for you to progress and perform better the next time you go out.
How big a chance, or what are Chris's chances like, and what are Mona's chances like this year, do you reckon, or what are Ireland's chances like on the whole for Paris?
Speaking on Mona's chances, I think her goal would be to perform better than she did in Tokyo, and she made the final of the 100 breaststroke in Tokyo, and she swam the 200 breaststroke as well, didn't make it out of the heats there. So realistically, she's in the top 10 in both events this time round, top 8 in the breaststrokes. So she would be looking at getting to the finals in the 100 and possibly the 200. She did a great swim there 3 weeks ago in her 200 breaststroke, and she's buzzing about that at the moment. So she's in a really good place physically and mentally. So if she can bring her A game to the pool that day, over the next number of days at the competition, she'll be looking to hit finals in the individual events. And then she's also on the medley relay with the girls, and they have a good chance of possibly getting to the final. You know, they have four very strong swimmers. Three of the girls are doing individual events, and there's another girl going just for the relay swim. So it's exciting times for her over there. Individually wise,
it certainly is exciting times. And Roddy, what do you make of Chris's chances this year?
Yeah, obviously Chris is there only for the relay. He's not there for the individual 400 metres. The best mixed 4x4, the quartet, is exceptional. They're ranked number 2 in the world this year. They obviously won the European gold medal, beating what looked like an unbeatable Dutch team that day. They were second in the World Relay Championships in Bahamas. Now, you know, there's a heats and then a final in that event. Rashida Adelecki's coach still has to make the final decision about her involvement, because she will also be going for a medal in the individual 400. So strong music is that she will be available, but that has yet to be decided. If she's available and the four of them are there, which includes Charlene Mosley, Tom Barr and Chris, they will be in the mix. You know, they will be in the mix in relation to it. But again, and I think Grace will agree with me on this, it's the Olympics. It's the cream of the cream. You know, it's the very, very best in the world. It's sport. There are no guarantees. The four of them there, if they're on the start line in the final for the mixed 4x4, they'll have a great chance of a medal.
Roddy Gaynor and Grace Mead in conversation with Donal Ryan ahead of the Paris Olympic Games on the aspirations and hopes for athlete Chris O'Donnell and swimmer Mona McSharry, the two Grange natives who for the second Olympics in a row are both representing Ireland at the Games. Mona is in the pool in the 100 metres breaststroke heats on Sunday morning. Chris will be on the track in the heats of the 4x400 metres mixed relay on Friday week, the 2nd of August. The opening day of the athletics includes the mixed relay first round heats. And we heard there, Breach Conley, as we approach the end of this Olympic preview, about the work and the effort and the sweat and tears and training and at times loneliness and solitary nature of trying to reach the elite level, as Mona McSharry and Chris O'Donnell have done. But it is about enjoying yourself as well.
Yeah, for sure. All of that is correct, everything Rodney has said, and Grace, you know, about dedicating yourself to the sport. But I, speaking for myself, I think there was probably the best 15 years ever. I just really, once I found those people who I fully believed, right, these are the right coaches for me, you know, these are men who know what they're doing. Yeah, it was just class. It was brilliant. I would only ever encourage, because sometimes I think it can sound so daunting, you know, the loneliness and maybe the problems that could come with it, you know, and the physical and the mental toll. But sport is brilliant. It has changed my life. It opens doors that you would never have imagined. It's so good for friends, you know. Like, Chris and Mona will make friends for life. You know, this is a chapter that very few people get to write in their book. So I would just say, if anybody, like, you can't just choose to go to the Olympics, you know, the cards have to fall, you have to be willing, you have to have ability, a bit of talent. But yeah, for me, I can only think of it fondly and in an enjoyable way. Yeah.
And 8 years after your Olympic marathon run, you're still running competitively today?
Well, not so competitively, but still running every day. Yeah, I love it.
You've won a Warriors run or two in recent seasons.
The Warriors. But yeah, it is. It's part of my life. It's part of my everyday. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. Breach Connolly, thank you. Enjoy the games. Thanks, I'm sure we'll have you on during the course of the next fortnight. There'll be much to discuss. A reminder that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcast, just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We'll keep you in touch with the progress of all the Ireland local athletes over the next 14 days of competition. The opening ceremony on the River Seine, the teams coming in by boat tomorrow evening, 6:30.